how to turn grief of the planet and humankind into creative action.
Yeah, that is, well, one, I mean, there's many, many ways of looking at it. And in really big picture, you know, the planet would be fine without human beings. which is that's not where the grief is. The grief is in us, and the recognition that there is it is a crisis, and it is. To do with us. And I think one of the things that's important is that we find ways that we can contribute in some way. Again, it comes back to giving or sharing or expression of gratitude, and certainly there is every single reason to be grateful for this planet. There's, you know, in terms of planets, this is the only one we got, and there aren't really the conditions that have come together for not just human life but all life are actually. It's actually incredibly complex that all these conditions have come together. It's not to be taken for granted. So to be able to find something that one feels and meaningful in some way, shape, or form, and contributing, doing, being able to do something, and you build small things, and slowly build up. Because if you think you've got to solve the problem completely yourself, then that what that stirs one into is inaction, and kind of hopelessness. So that it's important to be finding ways or groups or, because there's lots of creative, intelligent, responsible people around who are doing really good things that need support. And a lot of it is paying attention to who can one help. Also, that, you know, that any contribution that we can make to helping something better is really important. It's not to be sort of, you know, nothing is too small that one can be doing. And it's also important to not get, say, overwhelmed by grief or overwhelmed by anger, even though it's, one can justify it pretty easily. But that's not a great contribution. So that to be able to, you know, creatively and kindly find people or organizations that one can help with or get motivated by or be a part of is really important. And also, you know, I think back to when I lived in Thailand and I, of course, I'm a forest monk, so I live in a forest, so I kind of like forests. And one of the things that I got involved with was helping protect forests in Thailand. And there were, and actually I was telling somebody the other day, somebody was asking, you know, the NGO that I started, it's still functioning, which is, in terms of NGOs, tend to have a fairly restricted half-life. And so that it's, and there, what they're doing much more of is mentoring other organizations and mentoring new people, as well as education. They're focusing on education. But when we were picking up projects for, you know, protecting forest areas and finding ways to help protect, because Thailand developed so quickly that its economic development took precedence over its incredible rich natural diversity, and huge amounts of the forests and natural settings were completely destroyed and still are. But as I was, I remember one time meeting with somebody, some people, and they were asking me, well, do you think you can, you know, just by doing this, can you protect the forests in Thailand? I said, no. And they're kind of, you know, taken aback. Well, why are you doing it? And I said, because it needs good examples. And it's the good examples in small areas that seed bigger things. And so that paying attention to, you know, small areas that where we can contribute, and recognizing that there is, yeah, within this human heart, people do recognize goodness, and they do respond to goodness, and they want to rise up. And so, like, giving occasion for people to rise up to goodness is really important. So that responding to the grief of you know, the planet is definitely acknowledging, yeah, it's absolutely there. But how do we respond in ways of bringing goodness into the world, so that provides a seed for others to build on, and we can continue to contribute in some way, shape, or form. So that's how I would sort of what comes to mind in reflecting on it.